more than conquerors. What does that really mean? And I never will forget, I was watching one of the Rocky movies right about that time. How many of y'all know the Rocky movies? If you don't, you've had your head under a rock for the last 30 years, right? Ever how old those movies are. But anyway, I was watching that movie and God just showed me right off what it means that we're more than conquerors. Of course, we know Christ is our conqueror, right? We understand that. Well, what does it mean to be more than Christ? Wow. I thought, wow, that's a blaspheming thought that I'm more than Christ. Anyway, back to the movie. Rocky certainly was the conqueror, right? I mean, he's the one that took the beating, but he ultimately strived and worked out, and you know, when the bell rang at the end, it was all over. He was the one that was victorious, even though he didn't look too victorious at that moment. Picture Jesus Christ. He was our conqueror. He's the one that took our beating for us. Now, who's the beneficiary of that beating? We are, right? Think about who's the beneficiary of Rocky Balboa in that movie. I mean, he was, certainly after that fact. But Adrian, right? Oh, Adrian, I don't do a good job with Rocky. But anyway, his family, they were the beneficiaries. They didn't lift a finger to win that victory. But yet, look at the benefits of the money that he got. And I don't know, God began to show, that's just a slight glimpse maybe of what it means that we're more than conquerors. We don't have to fight our battles. We're going to see that in the story today. Jehoshaphat, even back before the cross, God was giving him a picture of grace back then that we don't have to fight our own battles. And so that's kind of what it means to be more than conquerors. How do we live from Christ's victory every day? Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now the setting is a former king of Israel named Jehoshaphat. Well, he was king back then. Now he was a former king. But anyway, he got the news that there was a vast army that was about to attack and that they were about to face, and he knew in and of their own selves, their strength and their power, their military, they were doomed for failure. So, what is your enemy today? Before we get started, before we answer from Scripture, how do we walk in Christ's victory? What is your battle today? Could it be a relationship gone bad? Could it be someone's persecuting you, or could it be a health issue? Could it be a financial problem? Could it be an addiction? Whatever it is that's kind of facing you today that maybe looks a lot bigger than you think you can handle. By the way, that's a good place to say I can't handle it, but Christ can through us. So let's jump into the Scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 3. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. Now, he's a lot like us. He did not understand that you don't have to beg God for anything, right? You don't have to. How many of y'all have had things, and I'm talking about before you knew better, okay? But in your past where you came to God in prayer and there was something going on in your life and you begged and you prayed and you called at prayer chain and you called and you talked about it and you worried everybody else to death about it and just said, oh Lord, you know. And it's like we come across as begging God. And that's not really what we have to do today, right? He thought that he had to beg for whatever. He said, we got to fast, we got to do all these things to get God to move. I used to think I've got to clean up my act if I'm going to get God to move. I've got to pray. I've got to make sure I've got all my sins confessed. I've got to, right? Before I understood what I know today. By the way, everything that's written in the Bible now, and what I want to mention to you as we're looking at this, you're going to see me critique there how he dealt with things, even though it's so powerful here, but through the lens of grace, God, the Holy Spirit, is actually telling me now, look at it this way, but yet there's grace still there. Even though he didn't have it just right, right? He thought he had to beg God. By the way, everything that's written in the Bible is not for us to obey. Wow, if I put that statement on Facebook, I'd get blasted, sure enough. Everything is written in the Bible for us, but not everything is written in the Bible to us. I mean, you look at the Old Testament sacrifices. You look at a lot of things that they did back then. Doesn't mean it was the right thing to do, right? Okay, thank God I'm not under some of all that stuff anymore. But anyway, let's move on in Scripture. Verse number 4. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. So how do we live from Christ's victory? Number 1, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. I don't believe you need to seek Him as Jehoshaphat did. I don't believe you need to beg God and say, "Oh Lord, come help me, I'm in trouble." By the way, that's a good thing to say. But how about coming to the Lord like this? "Lord, how do I walk in Your victory in the face of this difficulty? How about, Lord, thank You that I am more than a conqueror. I'm more than this problem that's facing me. Lord, thank You that this problem didn't take You by surprise. Therefore, I'm in You. Why am I worrying about this?" You see what I'm saying? How the difference in your prayers? "Lord, how do I walk in victory in the midst of these enemy soldiers that are even before they arrive? How do I walk in victory before I'm even in the midst of the battle that I know is coming?" How about that? All right, number one, seek the Lord. Number two, remind God of His power, provision, and promises. You say, remind God, is He forgetful? No, He's not forgetful. You're reminding Him of who He is and what He can do for your own benefit. And you're going to see this is so powerful as to what Jehoshaphat did here that I believe if you took this simple little process and you began to worry next week about whatever it is that's going on in your life and you began to pray something similar to Jehoshaphat and what he did in talking to the Lord about His power, about His provision, and about His promises, you will begin to walk in victory right where you are, and nothing has changed out there yet. I'm just telling you, it's a state of mind, isn't it? Take thoughts captive, Paul said. When we begin to worry, we need to begin to think clearly and correctly. And that's what Jehoshaphat's doing here. Look at verses 5 and 6. And once you begin to, in these two verses, you're going to see him reminding God of His power. Look at this. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, You alone are God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are, watch it, powerful and mighty. No one can stand against You." You see him? He's reminding God, or he's preaching back to God, telling God who he is. You say, "Well, I believe I've been begging God to..." Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to get you out of that, okay? Begin to get your focus off of your problems and get them back on the Lord. And this is such a powerful thing. He said, "You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against You." Now watch how verses 7 and 8 begin. He talks about God's provision. Look at this. And he looks backwards. By the way, it is good to look backwards every now and then. You remember back in 19 so-and-so when you were walking through that difficult time? Did y'all have any back then? Just curious. Did you remember how God worked and how He took care of things and how everything just turned out fine in the end? Even though it didn't end like you thought, didn't unveil itself or didn't unfold itself like you hoped it would, but yet you're still here. You're still alive. Right? Look back and see what God's doing. That's what He was doing here. "O Lord," or he said, "O our God, did You not drive out those who lived in the land when Your people Israel arrived?" He was thinking back. "And did You not give this land forever to the descendants of Your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor Your name." So he reminded God of His power. He reminded God of His provision. Now I want you to notice how he's reminds God of some promises. Look at this in verse 9. "They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity..." Now I put this in. This wasn't in the Bible, that relationships in parentheses. I'm trying to bring Scripture here today to you and me. Okay? So it could be when we're faced with relational problems, we're faced with some kind of situation such as war or plague. That could be a disease. That could be a health issue or a famine. Could be a financial famine. "We can come to stand in Your presence..." Now there's a little bit of error here after the cross. This is not really correct. But even today, if you prayed this prayer, you'd be all right. But I'm going to tell you how to pray it even better in light of the new covenant. So I'm going to give you the CRV. That's the Carlton Rivers version of this verse in just a minute. All right? And I believe you need to. The Holy Spirit will do this. Some of you might be staying away from the Old Testament. I'm telling you, you don't do that. There's some powerful stuff there as you begin to read through the lens of grace now. I love reading in the Old Testament. I don't get freaked out when it says, we've got to stand in your presence. In other words, we've got to relocate to get to God's presence. Some of y'all used to think that you had to relocate to, from your home to church to stand in God's presence. Some of you then, taking a step further, thought you had to relocate from the pew down to the altar to get in God's presence. Can I remind you that we are the temple of God? You don't have to relocate. You're already there, all right? I'm getting ahead of my next point. Okay, he said, we can come and stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will help us and rescue us. And that is so true. But question, if you prayed this prayer, would it give you strength? Listen, we have it better than Jehoshaphat did back then, as I've already stated. Let me just go ahead then and jump, since I've done preached all that before that. Let's jump to that next slide. I'm going to give you the CRV version. Okay? Taking this verse in light of the New Covenant, they said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we just need to remember we're standing. How about that? We don't need to say we can stand. No, we are already there. We are standing in your presence because we are the temple of God. Read 1 Corinthians. You'll see that, I believe, in chapter 3. And by the way, it says where the Spirit is, that place is the temple of God. And by the way, that place is holy. Some of you thought you were holy because you were working so good and avoiding so many sins, didn't you? I hope by now you'd see that ain't true. You're holy because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. And you're already cleaned up, you're already righteous, not because you're getting your act together, not because you're abstaining from sinning every day. That's a joke. It's because God chose to bury us with Him before we were ever born. He raised us a new creation in Christ, and we are now seated in the heavenly places. I'm telling you, this ought to cheer you up this morning. He said, we're standing in your presence. We are the temple of God. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Okay? I want you to begin to understand, actually, beyond that we can cry out to God, but we need to be crying out to God that He has already saved us. Not just salvation, it's a good deal. He's already taken care of that problem that that's facing you down right now. We are so focused on this little chronological timetable that down here on earth that we're just saying, yeah, that's all good and dandy, pie in the sky is a good thing to think on, but I'm hurting now. What am I going to do now, right? Begin to understand that you're already there and you'll have a peace and you'll see what Jehoshaphat did, that he didn't lift a finger to fix that problem. And that's what we've got to understand. Why would we remind God praying of His power, provision, and promises? I believe that praying, now listen, I believe that praying through the lens of grace, through the new covenant of grace, will actually help release the faith of Christ that you already possess. When you begin to pray, reminding God of His power, His provision, and etc., who He is, it just releases faith. You kind of, I don't know, you just tap into, wow, what am I worried about here? You see what I'm saying? You're not drumming up your faith. You're not striving, I gotta have more faith, gotta have more faith. That used to be one of my prayers in my former life too. How about y'all? Well, if I just had enough faith, I wouldn't be like this. If I just had enough faith, I could get this. I could be healed. I could do all these things. And thank God for people like Steve McVeigh that are teaching us that we already have Christ's faith. We don't have to drum it up. And it's totally scripture, and we've, of course, talked about that before. But back to the story. After Jehoshaphat stood and prayed, look at verse 12. He said, O our God, won't you stop them? Watch it. We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. And we don't know what to do. This will be a good prayer for you that's facing that battle. But we don't know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. You see, Paul said, when I am weak, then I become strong. Paul was the powerhouse grace preacher that had a peace that passed understanding. He learned the contentment he told us about when he was in prison. He said, I've been hungry, I've been full, I've been beaten, I've been laying on the beach. I'm putting it in today's term. In other words, we've had good things and we've had bad things. But through it all, he said, I've learned that I have a peace that passes understanding. And his name is Jesus Christ. And it's an internal thing. It's an internal thing. Then the Holy Spirit spoke through a prophet in verse 15. I love this. He said, he's speaking to you today. Everybody listen and say amen. The Holy Spirit is speaking this direct to you straight from the Old Testament. But the Holy Spirit is relevant for today. And I believe he's speaking to some of you that's going through something right now. Or maybe he's preparing you for something that's coming next week that you don't know about. You need to remember this. Listen. All you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. Don't be discouraged by this situation. Don't be discouraged by that relationship. Don't be discouraged by this health issue, whatever it is that's going on. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That right there was worth you coming today. Some of you are still trying to fix your own problems. How's that working out? You're worried, you're on the treadmill of trying to stop this, start that, and you're worried to death, and my goodness, let's get off of that treadmill. Let's get out of that thinking. So how do we walk from Christ's victory? Well, first of all, we said seek the Lord. Number two, we said remind God of His power, provision, and promises. And then we see it right here, number three, realize the battle is not yours to fight. Verse 12 said that we're powerless. You can't fix it. So why you keep trying? Well, I lay it down, preacher, but it seems like tomorrow nothing's changed. I feel like I got to pick it up. God's not doing nothing yet. How many of y'all don't really tell the Lord that, but that's exactly how you act? I've done that so many times. I said, my goodness, it's not mine to fight, and I'll get my head right, and we're getting it right now. That's why it's so important to come and listen and hear the truth. Because I'm telling you, if you're not hearing this, the enemy is telling you the opposite tomorrow. I believe it's a pep rally, a place to come and be charged up and just to understand who we are. I believe we ought to walk with this understanding all week, and don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you, it's important to hear the truth, isn't it? 12 says, we're powerless, we can't fix this. In our flesh, we can do nothing. But the Lord, this battle is not mine to fight. What if you just tell the Lord that? Remind Him of His power, provisions, and then turn around and finish your prayer saying, God, I can't fix this. I can't fix it. By the way, this battle is already over. What if you thank God that it was? Because we live from His victory. We keep looking at the battle is won when I get out of this situation. And God is saying, no, realize I'm already there. I've already, I know the outcome. I already know what's going to happen. It's not nothing like what you think anyway. Why are you trying to figure it out? Why are you trying to fix it? Focus on Christ's victory, saying, Lord, I'm in You. I'm secure. I'm with my daddy who loves me securely. I've told you the story. My dad was a very strong person, and when I was with him, I didn't worry about anything out there because I knew he'd protect me. How about your Heavenly Father who made all the good daddies in the world? You're His child. He loves you and cares for you. And I want you to hear and listen to what He's trying to tell you today. The prophet continued. Look at verse 16. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming through the ascent of Ziz, I don't know if that's right, at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. Look at verse 17. I love this. But you will not even need to fight. I believe God is telling you that this morning. You will not even need to fight. Take your position. Here we go. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. What if we get up tomorrow morning and we start worrying and the Holy Spirit reminds us of these words and you begin to preach and pray this kind of thing back to God saying, Lord, it's not my job to fix that. I'm going to stand still and I'm going to watch you work. Wow. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. I tell you, this is a good practical word, isn't it? Very practical. Some of you have problems and you are tapping into Christ's faith. You're comprehending in your spirit that it's going to be okay right now. But tomorrow, if you're not careful, as I've already stated, you will lose that confidence because nothing has changed yet. It's one thing to amen and high five and feel good and fuzzy in here, isn't it? When everybody else is getting it, you're getting it, and the Spirit's speaking to your heart. It's another thing tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and when it still ain't changed. I'm telling you, just keep on trusting and believing God. Look at verse 17 again. It says, but you will not even need to fight. Take your position. By the way, your position is that you are in Christ. Wow. If you could get that tomorrow morning, you say, I'm in Christ. I'm standing ready, Lord. But you're watching, seeing what He's going to do. Say, preacher, are you saying we never have to do anything? That's not what I'm saying. If you're tuned in to the heart of God and you know you're secure in Him and you're not worried and you're understanding I don't need to be afraid and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart to handle something that's going on and you to do something, you will know it without you having to drum it up and fix it. It's listening and in tuning to the Lord. He may have you to do something. Maybe it's something somebody's got an ought against you. Maybe call them. Maybe to call them. I don't know. It may be to do nothing. Just don't step out in your flesh is what I'm saying. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid or discouraged. God, go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. You see, they didn't sit still. They had to move. So sometimes you've got to step out. You've got to keep going to work. You've got to keep doing whatever it is you do. But do it understanding it's not you that's orchestrating all this and fixing it. Okay. Let's move on. Now notice what the king did. Early the next morning, in verse 20, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah. He says listen a lot, don't he? He's a lot like preachers. Listen, okay? He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in His prophet, and you will succeed. Look at verse 21. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers. Now, what a tactic here, okay? He appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. What if you did that tomorrow in your mind? You're walking out in the midst of a mess at work or family or whatever, and you just start out singing to the Lord, praising Him for His holy splendor. That is what they sang. This is what they sang. Look at what they said. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Instead of putting the elite soldiers out front, like I would do, right? I'd have the best of the best out there. We're going to take them. He didn't do that. He put the praise man out front. Wow. Wow. He was crazy, wasn't he? Notice they didn't sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Where's the focus of that song, by the way? It's not a bad song. Don't go out of here throwing rocks. I'm just trying to tell you, most of our focus, a lot of our praying is on how much we love you, God. What if you focus more on how much He loved you? What if you focus more on thanksgiving to Him and what He's done? No, they weren't singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." It tells us right here, they were singing, "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." Notice where the focus is. Listen, the more the focus is on Him, the less the focus will be on you and your problems, the less you're going to worry. Wow, that's a good word. That wasn't written down either. God can speak, by the way. Some say, "Well, you don't need all them notes. Just get up there and let the Holy Spirit speak." If I did that, you would say, "I wish He'd get His notes back." I have had people that don't use notes, and bless their heart, if they're gifted to do that. I'm all in and dandy. I've tried it, and I'm all over the place. And God spoke to my heart one time. He said, "You know what? I can speak to you through the week in your studies just as much as I can on Sunday morning." And so that's what I've chosen to do, okay? And I've heard preachers where I wish they would use a few notes, okay? I'm thinking, where are they going? Anyway, the focus needs to be on Him, not on us. The more the focus is on Him, the less the focus is on you, the less you're going to worry. That's a simple word, but I believe it's true. Dear discouraged friend, maybe you're facing a mountain of a problem. Don't focus on your love for Him. Focus on His love for you. Same as in Romans 8. You've heard my story. There's a lot of my worries and financial troubles over the past years, and Romans 8 was so powerful. What if famine comes? What if persecution comes? What if relational issues come? What if financial woes come? Has anything changed? Romans 8 says, nothing can separate you from my love. I thought that was just about salvation, and it was a good word, but it's way deeper than that, isn't it? It's about right now. I'm in Christ. It's practical for day-to-day living. Back to 2 Chronicles as we land the plane. Okay, here we go. Verse 22. At the very moment they begin to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. I love it. By the way, God, ever how you are envisioning God fixing your problem, you need to quit wasting your time. Because I believe 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, it almost, God almost always works in a different way. So quit trying to orchestrate in your mind how it's going to come out. You're wasting too much energy. Don't you agree? Wow. Financial thing, you think, well, oh, so-and-so, if he finds out about it, I'm sure God's going to move on him to give me money to fix this. You're wasting your time. Quit doing that. Don't waste your time on that. What if Jehoshaphat had tried to figure out what God was going to do? He would have never come up with this solution, that the enemies are going to start fighting one another. Wow. I just love it. Next few verses state that God destroyed the enemies and they enjoyed the spoils. Just a last quote for you. Walking in Christ's victory is not the absence of trials and difficulties. Do I need to repeat that? Many of you think it's about when God takes you out of the difficulty or out of the trial. No, it has nothing to do with you walking in Christ's victory. It is the belief that God's love for us is constant and is the key to enjoying victory while in the battle. By the way, the devil wants us to respond to trials by asking the what ifs. Why me, Lord? If you really love me, now you really want to bless me, why am I having to go through this? As we get in 2 weeks from today, I'll be starting a new series, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, as we look at the book of Job. Very difficult book. I said, Lord, why are you leading me here? And then the more I study, the more I see why. We're going to be using some clips from the movie The Shack. And I'm telling you, there are some powerful things about why bad things happen to good people. And you're going to begin to see from God's perspective a little bit better about that particular tough topic. But friend, the devil wants you to ask the wrong questions. Where is God in all this? Why me? What have I done? What sin did I commit? What did my father's sin commit? You know, I'm cursed, you know, generational curse. By the way, that's a lie. The devil don't want you to know it's a lie. He wants you to think that, and you'll see a lot of it come true. That's what you're thinking and believing. That's probably what you're going to see. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the old proverb writer said. But see, God wants us to respond with His faith and His love for us. I love it. It's all Him. It's His faith. It's His love for us. What's my part? Just be more than a conqueror. Just be a beneficiary. The more we keep our focus on His love for us, the more you are going to see breakthroughs in your life. You trust me and try it. You just keep trying it. The more you focus on His love, He will fight the battle for you. Just be sensitive, as I said, to the Holy Spirit. So whatever battle you're facing today, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't be afraid. I'm with you. It's not your battle to fight. It's mine, says the Lord. Closing song, new one I've not heard before. I just did a search on More Than Conquerors, and I thought, let's just see what comes up. I'd never heard this song before by Stephen Curtis Chapman, More Than Conquerors. I pray it's a blessing to you today.